Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the On The Box podcast, the TV show podcast on the Anfield Index podcast channel. And I am your host, Gags Tandon, bringing you this show weekly so far. Weekly, that is a big change for this show. It was very haphazard. So we are bringing you as much television coverage as we can because, we all love it. We all love it. And joining me once again on this show is the newly crowned AI Legends podcast host, Mr. Joe Connors. How are you doing, Joe?
Hey, I'm good, Gags. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Are you enjoying your new hosting gig?
Oh, I love it. It's actually one of my favorite pods because it's any sport and anybody can participate. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, good man, good man. I see you're planning another one. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
And yes, and also we have a debutante on the show, Mr. Simon Dowling. How are you doing, Si?
How are you? I am fantastic. Thank you very much for having me on my first ever pod.
So, oh my God, yeah. And we have another Irish, another one.
Yeah.
Can't get away from you,
very slowly. Yeah,
taking over.
Well, another time.
Dave will argue that, well, how can you take over? You've already got it. You know? So yeah, pretty much. We got Downey now as well. Jesus. You know, let's see how you do. You got some big footsteps to follow in, my friend.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about today? We are talking about a brand new show that came out only last month. In fact, it's not even been a month, has it? I think it was December.
It came out in December.
Late December. So of us, obviously, we all just only got to it this year. So we've only watched it in the last few weeks. My memory is like a sieve. So I am going to be relying totally on Joseph and Simon here today.
Brilliant.
And just picking their brains a little bit, coming up with what I know and what I've seen. But this show that we're going to be talking about is The OA. And it's a little bit different, this one. It actually cannot be put into genre. I don't know if you agree with this, guys. And as you know, listeners, with the new format, we do spoil in this show now. It's a pure spoiler show. But obviously, the first 10 minutes of show or so, we just talk about a few things around it, the genres and what it's like and stuff like that. So if you want to just bear with us for the first 10 minutes or so, see if you like it, and then go away and want to watch it and binge on it, feel free to. So, personally, I don't think you can put a genre to it because it covers so many. Simon, you're new. Do you agree with that thought? And I know we haven't put this in the agenda, but I just thought about it while I was thinking, like, what the hell is this show? Is there anything like it anywhere?
I think it's very like Stranger Things, actually. I think there's a lot of parallel between the two. I don't want to spoil it, but there's just the fact that it's based in a small town about boys kind of coming of age. There's the things with like the bikes and just it has that kind of a feel to it, even though it's in a one way they're nothing alike, but I think there is a strange, not to make a bad pun, but like a link with them. Apart from that, I don't really know if it's like anything else that I've seen before, and I would find it hard to pick a genre that it's actually in. it's hard to put it in a box. I think it does span a lot of different things, but that's the only show that I can think of that it's even anything like, really, which I've ever watched.
Joey, what about you? I mean, science fiction, drama, what else is it? There's loads of things that this can go into. You know? It's mystery.
Yeah, it is. It's actually all those. And the funny thing is the Stranger Things, I could see that, especially with the nosebleeds and 11 and OA. But the first thing that I thought of was a movie, was The Life of Pi.
Oh.
The boy on the boat with the...
Yeah,
remember when he was on the boat with the animals? Did he really visit the island of gophers? There was a lot of stuff. The story about the tiger and the coping mechanism. There was a lot of stuff that really tied in with the two of those. That's the first thing I thought of. I love that movie. But like TV show-wise, I can't think of one show that was actually really like that, which is probably why I loved it so much.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything that was similar to it. It was different. It was weird. There was bits and pieces, like you just said, Stranger Things here and there. But I never viewed it that way. Maybe, you know what? We all watch TV in different ways. So, like, we talked about this in Stranger Things, didn't we, Joey?
Yeah.
I didn't see the Stranger Things element, like you said about the lads and stuff. But I thought it was totally different to that because those were a group of friends. These were a bunch of strangers brought together.
Exactly.
You know, do you get what I mean? I don't see that. I see what you're saying about the biking afterwards, but the premise wasn't anywhere near that. And also, the focus is nowhere near on...
Oh, no, yeah.
The focus is a story, a replay, what do you call it? A flashback, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing's a flashback, and we'll get to that in a bit. But like I said, if you're going to watch this show, guys, it's totally different. It's it does develop very quick. You are intrigued by it because of just the initial plot, which we're going to go to in about in the next 10-15 minutes. We'll get to that. But I was just having a look at the reviews online for this, and Rotten Tomatoes gave it, I think, a 72%. You know, something like The Night Manager, which I haven't watched yet, has got 92%, by the way. Nashville's got 86%. So you can see the differences in what people have given it. There's also on IMDb, it's got an 8 out of 10, which is healthy, with over 22,000 votes, by the way. So that's huge. That means it shows how many people have watched this. Metacritic gave it 61%, 3 stars. That's not so good, but you know, I think IMDb. I don't know what to trust really. I don't know what to trust, and I don't think there's any ratings. There's not any rating stuff out for it yet because it's only been 3 or 4 weeks, so it's going to be difficult to get any stats on that from Netflix because you could do on Stranger Things. We were about 6-7 months afterwards we did the pod, didn't we? So
you had to throw a stats in there, didn't you?
I did. I want to keep the feel going of we covering every single angle that we can and reviews that we can. A lot of people came out of this show watching it in the end, and there's loads of tweets and loads of articles saying, what the fuck was that? And we're going to get there. But I'm just trying to build it for the listener that if you haven't seen this and you're listening to this because you either like the show or you like some of us that are on the show and you just want to listen, at the end you do get the big what the fuck was that, and it's a massive what the fuck is that. So it actually is intriguing. Go and give it a watch if you haven't. Come back and listen to the rest of the show. Right, let's go on to some of these performances then. Unless you want to cover these at the same time as we go through the show. Totally up to you. And you want to get the acting out the way and then just do the story and the ending, we can do that as well, guys. Shall we do
this? Yeah, let's do it with that.
I think that's good.
Get the performance out the way, yeah?
Yeah.
So obviously, one main star. There's plenty of big performances, but the main one is Britt Marling. Obviously,
yeah.
She's written it, she's produced it, I think, as well, and she's acted in it.
Yeah, she did.
And she seems to work a lot with Zal. I don't know how to say.
I can't pronounce his name either.
Batmanjili, is it?
I think it is. Yeah,
right. Zal Batmanjili. Now, this guy, he directs basically everything she's in, helps write everything she's in, co-writes it, co-produces it, maybe, and also. He also directed 2 episodes of a show that I really like, The Wayward Pines, last year, the first season. I really like that. So, yeah, he comes with, he's Well, we now know he's a very good director because he just fucking directed this show. So, because this type of thing can make and break you, can't it? This type of show.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Britt Marling, guys. Joey, let's go to you this time first. What did you make of her and her character, Prairie Johnson?
One of the better acting performances I've actually seen in a while. It's hard to play being blind and then not being blind in the same season in 8 episodes. Whatever you think of the ending, and I know we'll get to that, she plays it perfectly because she leaves everybody guessing. I just thought she was flawless. I mean, everything from start to beginning, she was so good. But one person I do want to pick out, and he's been in a lot of stuff recently, but you notice him in everything, which is a sign of a good actor, is Riz Ahmed. He is so good as Elias, as the FBI.
He's only in it for half a season as well, so I need to mark.
He's what you call a scene stealer. He's just so good. But yeah, no, I thought the acting overall, who plays Hap? Jason Isaacs?
Yeah.
I think it's Jason.
Yeah.
He's really, really good too. And you see him in a lot of stuff. His face is in like 10,000 movies, but you never know his name.
No, you don't. It's not a person that you, it's someone you recognize by face, not by name. So if someone says to you, Jason Isaacs, someone like Rory will probably fucking know him, right? But everybody else is just like, who? And then you see his face. Oh,
yeah, like that guy. Yeah,
you were in Harry Potter, you know, like, and like people were like, was he? And then you go, yeah, he was. It's just weird. It's just weird that he has one of those faces. Like I was watching this show and thinking, I've seen you before somewhere. I know you, but yeah, he played. I think the negative role you can say in this. There were shades in this, but I think he's the negative role in this show to a T. I thought it was fantastic. Si, you can talk about either of them, Britt, Jason, or any others.
She was absolutely fantastic in her role, and I think I remember kind of hearing about her. When she first became an actor, she was being cast in a lot of roles that she didn't like, so she basically went, look, I'm just gonna make my own films and write my own things, and what better person to kind of act out them than her? So she, like, there's just a lot of depth, you know, like she really just gets into the character of the OA, and she's just, I mean, mentioning that thing about being blind and then not being blind, I mean, she just has it then perfect. And Hap as well. I mean, I felt like I could just trust him with everything, but then there's these other things about him. You know, he really has that down perfect. Riz as well. He's a phenomenal actor. He just really comes to life and he's fantastic. I actually thought pretty much everybody was cast very well.
Patrick Gibson, I think people need to talk about because
who is
Steve Winchell.
Steve. Oh yeah.
Because he plays a maniacal character so well. You feel sorry for him. You hate him sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes you absolutely just want to, you know, give him a hug. But it's just he played it to it again, like we could say, he played it so well, that fucking mental young lad, you know. That just gets himself in trouble all the fucking time.
In a
typical American teen is what he reminded me of.
Yeah.
That's really what it was.
You reminded him of yourself when you were younger, didn't he?
Basically, yeah. Used to be an asshole, pick on people.
He actually, in a really weird way, he reminds me of Pinkman from Breaking Bad. I don't know why, just that he's just a bit of a prick at first, but then he kind of comes to life, you know, he becomes a little bit more in tune with his kind of inner person. And I don't know, I'm not sure if anyone else thought that, but I just thought he reminded me of Pinkman a little bit. If you guys have seen Breaking Bad.
I've seen Breaking Bad. Yeah, Pinkman, I don't know.
Isn't he? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just weird. I don't know, but a little bit.
Everybody watches it in different ways. I saw him like Joey did, the bully. The young bully gets in trouble all the time, needed some focus, needed some direction. And you know what? That's something that might just become a major little storyline at the end when we talk about the ending and stuff, about focus and about direction and what these people needed. But apart from those, did you find anybody else? I thought the teacher, I can't remember her name, Elizabeth?
Betty Broderick Allen.
Yeah.
BBA. As she was called, yeah.
Yeah, BBA, that's right. Yeah, Phyllis Smith it is.
From the American office.
Yeah, I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was excellent as well. There was, many performances. The parents did so well as well in this. Mm-hmm. You might have recognized
Abel from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, man, but he just didn't get to display too much in this show, unfortunately. No. Not too much, just a few little good scenes here and there, with Britt, but that's it. Otherwise, apart from that, he didn't really get to show some of his skills off, I don't think. But one of the major parts, what I liked about the direction was how they put you into the scene at times, like when she comes home or when she meets her mom and she sees her face, kind of recognizes the voice, but then has to put her hand on her face.
Yeah.
The feel. It's, when you're blind, your sensory is all kind of touch, feel. It's all the other senses that make you feel like, you're at home. And like when she goes home, she digs her toes into the carpet. And, you could feel, kind of get across that, she's just acclimatizing herself back into where she was, because she doesn't know it, because it's all light, this color everywhere. It's, she's never seen it like that, It's weird.
Yeah.
Imagine it though in your own head. You go back home after being blind. You don't recognize it. So everything you do is going to be sensory. Wow. That's the type of things that hit me, is that you put yourself in the position of that character and you see and you go, yeah, I am putting myself in that character, able to feel it because it's directed that way. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think it brings
that rush of emotion back. When she steps on the floor, you can almost feel that being away for that long. What happened to her? That's pretty amazing. And then she steps on that rug and it's like, okay, I feel safe here.
Bang. That's it. And Zal brings that across well, the director, and the writing, obviously. So yeah, they did well. So Britt's going to get a lot of praise in this show, isn't she? Because she wrote most of this as well. So, okay. So those are the performances. Anything else?
There's one other small thing now. I don't know if anyone will know, but the actor who played the character Rachel is actually, she's a woman by the name of Sharon Van Etten. Yeah, she's quite a well-known musician. Singer. Yeah, so that's just a little... I think that was her first time ever acting. So that was pretty impressive, I thought.
Oh, wow.
But that's just a little, yeah. Yeah. That's why she had that amazing voice as well.
Of course.
I think that was actually her.
That was definitely her.
It was great.
Yeah. So they it was a bit of a coup getting Riz as well for this, wasn't it?
Yeah,
very much so.
I think people, before we go into tell the story, if you're thinking whether you should invest in this or not, I've read something that there is going to be a series 2. So that's, and it looks like Riz might just be getting, it might just have a big part in it. So that does make you want to watch, right? So,
yes.
So, yeah.
Especially because he was being shady, and there's a lot more to that character.
And we're gonna go there right now. So basically, guys, if you're listening to this and you have enjoyed it so far, apologies. It's now gonna become spoiler central. So you might want to take your leave now, or forever hold your peace for spoiling an absolutely fantastic show for you. So yeah, right. Let's move on to this. So we're gonna kick off with Simon, because what we're gonna do is we're gonna go through kind of like episodes. Three at a time, a switch between the guys, and who are going to try and get through this as fast as possible, because we want to move on to the ending, which is what we want to really talk about. But feel free to talk about your favorite scenes as well, guys, in these bits, and we can even have a discussion about those bits. So Joey, feel free to come in at any point.
Okay.
Si, the floor is yours, my friend.
Okay. So it opens up with this sort of home film of a blind woman jumping off a bridge, and then she gets to the hospital and we see these two people, Nancy and Abel, and they watch the video online. They come along to the hospital and it turns out that they're her parents. She's a woman by the name of Prairie and she's been missing for years before she went missing, she was blind, and now she's not blind anymore, and we have no idea why. Then she starts talking to the FBI agents, and she seems very, she's not really revealing much about where she's been or what happened to her. And she just doesn't really want to talk about it. And then she meets a boy by the name of Steve. He's about 18. He's in this kind of abandoned house. He seems like a bit of a prick. He's dealing drugs to other kids in his school. They kind of see like an overview of a few other people. And then he sends his dog to attack Prairie, and she bites it, which is just, you're just like, what the hell is
does
happening
here? Does she bite
here?
It, and or does she whisper things in its ear? Because
I bit it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she goes to bite it and then whisper
and
something
then she
in its ear.
Something. Okay.
And that is never explained, right,
no,
guys? Because that's
really
one
weird.
Of the mysterious parts of the show that we don't get to see anything follow up of that, do we, afterwards?
No, they don't really talk about it at all.
Because I like,
funny
kinda,
how the,
that's where
funny
I kind of thought.
Goes to, yeah, it's funny how the dog goes to follow her home, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of like she's got some powers right at that point, and that's where we kind of, you kind of, as for the first episode, you kind of get, I want to watch this now. You know, you got my attention. You know, that's
like, who is this person?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. So then Steve then bangs on her window, and he wants to make a deal with her a la Strangers on a Train, where two people who aren't linked can kind of commit a crime for each other so they can't be found. And he has a modem for her so she can access the internet, because the hospital had told her parents that she wasn't allowed to have internet access. And she mentions that she wants to find this guy called Homer. And we don't really know much about him at this point. And then in exchange for the modem, Steve wants Prairie to help him not be sent to this kind of a military boarding school. So she pretends to be his stepmom, and she meets BBA, otherwise known as Betty, who is Steve's teacher in school. And she manages to convince her to let him have another shot. And at that point, I think she has this weird way of being able to speak to people that no one else would. And that's like, I think you're like with the dog, feel that there's this weirdness about her. And she manages to almost make BBA look within her own past. And that kind of helped her to give Steve another shot. And then she tells Steve that that's been done, and she asks him if he can find five people to come and meet in an abandoned house. And he's just like, what the hell? And then she says, look, you owe me, blah, blah. And eventually he's like, okay. And they all meet in the house. So you have the five people. You've got Prairie, Steve, Jesse,
Buck and
BBA,
French.
Buck and French. And at that point, you get the opening credits after about 50 minutes, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what
the music
fuck?
Like swells up, and it's just like, holy shit, that was a cold opening for 50 minutes.
Can I ask a quick question? Oh. Did either of you, and Joey, open to you as well, when she was talking to BBA in the school, was it kind of like she felt like she knew her past? Rather than she was getting it out of it, it felt like she, for me, it felt like, wait up, it's like she knows.
I think she has the ability, whether you want to call it an ability or she's just really good at it, of basically showing people what they can be instead of what they are.
Mm.
And I think BBA picked up on that, and she did a complete 180 on Steve. And I mean, she was ready to expel him from school, but she, you know, OA walks in there and basically is like, no, like, this is what's going to happen. Look at your own life, see yourself for what you are, and you can change it. So that was when you first saw that, you were like, oh, wow. Like, damn, okay, this show's got me.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking more like a Heroes type thing, you know? Maybe that's where, you know, that there might be some powers to this girl. She's
Gone
from blind to being, you know, can see. Maybe she's got some mutation. Okay, yeah, I want to see some Marvel X-Men bullshit. Sorry, yeah, it's my fault. Joey would have loved that, by the way. If she fucking
yes, I would have. Yeah. I would have been all over that. Talking about Inhumans would have been a conversation.
Anyway, this is the point where she starts her first flashback, right?
So basically she tells everyone that she was born in Russia, and I was like, what the hell has got? That's when it just kind of, the whole thing is just really pulled me in, and I was like, okay, I'm hooked now. And so she was raised in Russia. She had this really powerful and rich dad, and the way she talks about their town, she's like the miner, the smith, you know, it's quite weird, and how there's all these like rich people. And then she starts having premonitions, and her nose bleeds when she wakes up in the morning, and her dad tries to fix her by making her jump in this ice cold river, which was, thought it was a bit cruel, but apparently it worked for a little bit. But then it turned out that she was having a premonition of a bus crash, and she dies. And then she has her first near-death experience, or as it's referred to in the show, an NDE. And a woman then, what's the name of the woman again? This spiritual woman.
Khatun, yeah.
She lets her pick if she wants to basically live or die. And she wants to live, so she takes her eyes because she said that she doesn't want her to see the horrible things that lie ahead. So now she's blind.
That you have to make a sacrifice, right, if you do go back.
So then she is now blind, and her dad, they basically her dad doesn't want anyone to know that she's alive, because it was a message that was sent from this kind of Russian mafia type thing. So her father sends her to boarding school in America, and then he passes away, and she has to go and live with her aunt, who has this weird adoption kind of agency that's just seems really completely illegal anyway. And then see Nancy and Abel. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. It's not a nice place for anyone to be. And then Nancy and Abel adopt her, and they name her Prairie. And she keeps having these premonitions and dreams, and every time she wakes up, her nose bleeds, and her parents take her to see a doctor who basically is like, she's mentally ill. She thinks her dad's alive and speaking to her, and she gets put on medication, which just completely numbs her, but it doesn't stop the dreams. And she visions her dad in New York. So she wants to, on her 21st birthday. So she heads there to try and meet him. And obviously he's not there. And then she meets this person called Hap. She's playing the violin, and then he comes up to him, and he's like, oh, that's really, really nice. But you're playing there. And she just kind of starts to speak to him. And I feel like he's the first person that really seems to understand her. And he's kind of like, yeah, I suppose it's the first person that really knows who she kind of is. And there's this real trust that she kind of has for him. He seems quite nice. He's friendly. He's buying her food. And he starts asking about her near-death experience. And she's like, oh my God, I thought I was weirdo and I thought I was ill. And he's like, oh no, you're fine. And she asks him to take her home with him. And you're just like, this is not going to end well. So he takes her to his house, and he brings her downstairs to this weird basement. And there's like water. And then you see the prison, and she gets put inside, and she's like, she turns around and realizes that she has been trapped in a prison, and she's like freaking out. And then we kind of meet the other three people, Homer, Scott, and Rachel. And they're all, I thought they're all acting quite kind of mean a little bit, especially Scott. He was like really, really mean to her. And then we kind of find out a little bit more about them. And Hap then lets Prairie come out because she says that she needs to be out in the light. And he begins to trust her. And Homer tells Prairie about this football ring that he had left him in the bathroom. And he wants her to take the ring and a bill so that he can send money to his kid and to tell him that he didn't abandon him. He was just taken hostage by Hap. After he tells her about the ring, then I suppose she builds up a better relationship with Hap. And eventually she comes up with a plan, isn't it, to put the pills poison in his food? Yeah.
When she's making him the soup from the stew from her childhood.
Yeah. So she makes him that and she crushes up pills into his food. And it turns out that he actually has an allergic reaction to what she had in the food. And he's asking her to get her. Yeah. And he asks her to find him the EpiPen, and she goes into the bathroom to find the pen, and she feels this kind of bit of hair, and there's a woman dead in the bathtub who is a girl by the name of August, and she's like freaks out about that, and Hap just makes his way into the bathroom, takes the pen off her and puts it into his leg.
Well, he threatens her as well, doesn't he, that if I don't get saved, your friends are gonna die as well.
Yeah. You know? So then Prairie heads back down and she kind of explains this to them, and basically her trust is built up and built up, and she confronts Hap and asks him what happened to August, and she kind of works it out, and she decides to act, and she pushes him down the stairs and runs away, and she runs all the way out through these trees and stuff, and then she comes to this massive big edge of a cliff face, and Hap hits her over the head with a rifle and knocks her out.
Yeah, and that's after that is kind of when I would say episode 4 starts, which is called Away. So when Hap knocks her out, she has another NDE or a near death experience, and once again comes to meet Khatoum. And before I go on with any more of the episodes, I do want to touch on who I think Khatoum is. And you do see Khatoum, you see the braille on her face. Now, I've done some translating, and I believe that is in German. Yeah, and I believe it's in German because it's not English. And if you look at it, what it says is it says, "Who, if I cried out, would hear me among the hierarchies of angels?" So that's a big thing, because Owe obviously thinks she's the original angel. And I know we'll get to that later, but there's also braille on the father's face later on, and it's hard to make out on his left cheek, but his right cheek spells angel again. So we're touching on, that's a huge, huge talking point, you know, and that's, we don't know exactly, it doesn't have to be a certain religion, like it doesn't have to be Christianity or Hindu or Islam. It's just, the point is, it's a very spiritual show. So when she meets her again, she's offered the choice to reunite with her father, and she doesn't, which is crazy because, as Simon was saying, she's basically looking for him through the first 3 episodes, trying to find him, doesn't know where he's at. And her and Prairie and Khatoum are having a conversation, and she says she chooses her friends, and she's, "How do I get back to the others?" And Khatoum says, "All 5 of you must work together to avert a great evil." And Prairie then responds back to her, "But there's only 4 of them." And then Khatoum says, "You will see." So that's a major foreshadowing to what happens at the end. Because remember, Prairie is talking about the ones in the basement, not the friend she meets back in her hometown. So that's a pretty cool thing too. I don't know if you guys picked up on that. So she does decide to go back to her friends, which is, again, it's crazy because her father, who she loves and she's known her whole life, but she chooses the people to help them because she knows that these 5 people need help. In one or another certain way, they all have massive issues. So she returns, but to return, she has to eat the bird, which is what Homer actually has to do in his NDE too. He actually eats the fish where they get movements after that. So after each time they do that, they get the movements, which is what you see when they're doing them crazy ass dances. So I guess at this point, they kind of switch to when BBA learns that Theo, her brother, left the 50 grand in his will. And she feels real bad about it. She doesn't want to cash the check. She turned him in. He was a drug addict. He was in rehab, and then he ended up dying. So she feels terrible about it. But Away, I want to touch back on Away too. The episode is called Away. And the way it's explained by Prairie is she's kind of contemplating her truer self. And when she comes back from the latest near death, the NDE, she says, they're asking her, "Well, what's it like? What's it like?" And this is when she's down in the cages with Hap and the other people, not with the suburbanites, I guess you can call them. So she says that it sounds something like away, but if you say it very slow, away sounds like away, just the letters O-A. So that's why she get. That's where they get that from. I'm sure you guys picked up on that, but I thought that was pretty neat as well. So then you get to episode 5, which is one of the best episodes, I feel. That's when Hap goes to Cuba, and he is looking for, I believe it's Renata. Is that who? Yeah, Renata. And Renata is somebody who's never been off the island of Cuba, but she's an amazing guitar player. Just unreal. And when she plays, people just stop dead whatever they're doing and just listen to it. When they're in the bar, it's a great scene. It's an amazing backdrop. Beautiful, beautiful country. And he goes himself at first, and he tries to convince her to come back, and she's having none of it. So while that's happening, Scott's kind of yelling that he hates his life. And Scott's one of the ones down in the basement, if you want to call it, in the cages. He hates his life. He's going to lose it in this episode. And I believe this is the episode where, I think this is the one where Hap actually finds out. That's what it is. When Scott knows he's dying, because I think it might be AIDS he's dying from, when he lifts up his shirt and shows Prairie the sores, it looks like he has AIDS. He's dying.
He dies in this one.
Yeah, this is the one. This is the huge one where he basically, Hap takes him in and puts him in, the contraption they use looks like something from the medieval times. And basically, the gas that they've been using to knock them out was not actually knocking them out. It's actually like a mind control gas. And anything he asks them to do, they basically do it. So he brings Scott in there, and Scott doesn't really care anymore because he knows he's going to die. And in that moment, he reveals to Hap that, hey, just want to let you know, she's been playing you the whole time. So Hap loses it, gets so angry, and he ends up actually killing Scott. But the cool thing is Scott's dead, so now Hap knows that OA is not blind anymore. He drops the dead body off in the cage. But Homer and OA do the dance. They do the movements that they get from their near-death experience. Homer's near-death experience, I believe he's running down a hallway, and I can't remember the exact parts of it, but he puts his hands into a fish tank and he swallows a fish just like OA swallowed a bird. And then he gets the second movement because they need the 5 movements to get where they need to go. So they can travel through different astral planes, portals, different dimensions. So Scott is lying down on the floor. There's blood coming out of him. And this is one of the creepiest parts of the whole series, I think. Again, they're doing the dance as in Homer and OA, and the blood starts to go back into Scott's body. He's miraculously alive again, which is crazy. So just the two of them are doing it. So the two big reveals from episode 5 are that basically Scott dies and comes back through these movements, which is seen by Hap. So he now sees that, whoa, they just brought this person back to life. So all the study he's been doing in his whole life has now a purpose for it. And it's amazing to him. But unfortunately, they know that he knows as well. So the race is kind of on for Renata and Rachel to die quickly so they can get other movements as well. Because when Scott died, he got the third movement. So they need the other two. And it's a bit strange because Renata ends up getting hers, but Rachel never gets the fifth one. And there's theories to why, which we can get into later. But the two things about her is that's one. And the other one is I don't believe they ever show her dying. Now, I know he has tapes in his office when Homer goes in there. And, you know, when I talked about the gas earlier, but there's a point in the show where the gas, how he knocks them out and he mind controls them, where they come up with the idea of we'll suck in the gas. You hold your breath and just act like you're knocked out or act like you're under mind control. So that's how Homer actually gets his movement, because he tricks Hap into thinking that he's...
I've read another theory about the gas.
Listening to him.
I've read that it's also amnesic, like it makes you forget.
I believe what makes them, and it's explained in episode 6, that was a perfect segue, Gax.
Nice one.
Renata, after the fourth move, remember when she comes back, the one thing she says, And this is the part that kind of makes you wonder what the, it's another thing that makes you wonder is that it's the interdimensional travel gives them amnesia. And that's the big thing. So when they come back, they're trying to figure out, like, we know these movements, but we can't remember them. So what do? They tattoo them on each other. That's why the scars are all over Owe's back, which is, in theory, if that's the way it really happened, is actually a great idea. Episode 6 is kind of a, I don't want to say it's bad, but it's a sort of a come down after 5 because there's so much breaking in 5. But in 6 is, she basically, again, Hap, this is one, the one big part is where Hap meets his mentor. And there's really no build up to this. We didn't even really know he was working, quote unquote, with somebody else. And I think, I can't remember that doctor's name, but they cut to a scene where they're talking about how, well, I've broken through here. And this is in my workings. And then Hap's like, oh,
Leon,
well,
I think.
Is that what it is? Okay, Leon, Dr.
Yeah.
Leon.
Yeah, Leon.
They're talking about their breakthroughs and their work. So Dr. Leon, after hearing Hap, he knows that Hap's further along and closer. So he tricks Hap, and they're just eating like sandwiches and having a drink. And he brings Hap into what looks like where you put a corpse, and he pulls a gun on him. But Hap's able to overcome it, and he basically drowns him in, I don't actually know what that purple liquid is. It's not embalming fluid, so I'm not sure what it is. But he drowns him and kills him. So after that, I think Owe has another, or does she have another visit with Khatun? Yeah, she does. And this is where it gets interesting, because they already have the 4 movements. So she dies again, because this is essentially they're dying. That's what Hap was doing to him. He was killing them to try to find out any kind of pattern in which he could figure out, you know, what is, when you die, where do you go from here? Or as they called it, a whoosh you'd hear. And then he would take down those whooshes and try to figure out a pattern. So she dies again, but this time Khatun's not there and nowhere to be found. And she can't figure out why. So when she comes back this time, Hap tells her, you went to the rings of Saturn, which is never really explained again. I don't understand why she would go to the rings of Saturn, but that's what he tells her. And then basically the last few minutes of it are kind of, it's almost like a love story between Owe and Homer, because they really start to get into each other and really feel for each other. And that's basically, yeah, the 4, 5, and 6 episodes. So okay, Simon, I don't know if you want to talk about the last two.
So then the next episode, Owe has another really big premonition, which is the first one that she's had for a while, and the first time you see her having a nosebleed since she saw her dad at the Statue of Liberty, but she isn't sure what it means. All she knows that it's in a big space with a metallic sound. She talks about it with the FBI agent Elias, that's the name, isn't it? Elias. And he thinks that it's her subconscious kind of speaking to her in a way. And his advice to Owe is this time, instead of actually acting on it, to just allow it to happen and let things be. So that's what she says that she'll do. And then this is actually the only episode that doesn't have a flashback. So this is all set in the present. So we find out a little bit more about what's kind of happening now. Steve gets kidnapped by the Asheville military force people who want to bring him to the military boarding school. And we have this probably the most comedic part of the whole show. I thought in a way, was this bit where he's in the van and BBA basically drives past him, and then she follows the van and she comes up with this crazy plan to tell Steve that he's being molested by them, and she starts to scream it, and it's like this really dark humor, dry, just the way she's like, he's being, the person's molesting this boy, and it's strange. And then they're like, they don't know what to think, and she eventually uses a check to bribe them with, and it's the money that she got from, we actually haven't talked about this yet, brother died, her twin, and we found out in an earlier episode that it was because of her that she had phoned the police on him because he was a drug addict, and she got basically got him put away in rehab where he died. So she obviously feels very, very bad about that. And she gets 50,000, she gets a check for 50,000, which she feels obviously very bad about, and she's not really willing to spend it. So she uses that to bribe the people who are trying to take Steve to the boarding school. Then away is having a meal with her parents, and this is the point where you start to see them becoming very upset that they don't really know anything about her, and that she still hasn't revealed anything about her time when she was away. And this girl comes up to away and asks to take her picture and says that she heard about her being raped and beaten, which was quite strange. So obviously that's probably just online things, people making up stories, and that really annoys Nancy, her mother. Then she tells, when her mother asks her to basically explain it, she tells her that she scarred her own back with notations of a movement that opened another dimension, and Nancy slaps her across the face. And then there's a really nice part where French and OA are in a car. I think French is driving OA to the house, and he kind of, in a way, wraps up the entire show where he's talking about what, like, her past and how she's really nice to people, and how she's taken this band of five people who aren't really, who are all have these kind of issues and stuff, and she's brought them all into one spot, and she's trying to kind of help them, and she's very, just basically, in a way, I thought it kind of linked a lot of the past into what's going on now, but that how she never spoke to her parents about it. And you kind of see how OA, she doesn't really view Nancy and Abel as her parents at all. And there's definitely a lot of tension between them. And Steve then gets really, really annoyed at OA. And he thinks that she's just basically stringing them along because she wants to get back to Homer, and he stabs her with a pencil. And then she hugs him and tries to kind of bring him back around, and they cry. And then that's the end of that episode. So then maybe, do we all want to talk about the last episode? Because a lot happens here in the last one, and Invisible Self.
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's talk about it, because it'll lead into exactly what we want to talk about to finish the show off, is the ending. So, I mean, you can all talk about this, you know, it's, there's so much that happens. I mean, how do we start it, you know?
The story is
it's a flashback again, isn't it?
Yeah.
The major flashback, you know, the biggest flashback in the whole thing is about basically Hap convincing a sheriff, you know,
that Homer
can cure his dying wife, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Now, there's so many little bits in this part. If you're narrating a story, guys, how do you know about the parts where you're not there?
This is the problem, isn't it? This is a huge problem with her. So either she's an unreliable narrator, or she's making it up, or somehow, I don't know, they've just added in these things just to fill us in, but it wouldn't really make any sense to have another person telling her story. So it is strange how she knows things that she wasn't in the room for.
Yeah, and that part's hard to explain. But she did. Do you remember the part where they had said that she enrolled in a creative writing class in the last episode? Like, is her imagination that vivid that she could actually do something like that? Because I know there's people who can do that. Now, is she one of them? I'm not sure. I know we're going to talk about what we believe happened and all that stuff, but it is a possibility that she made up the whole thing. Now, do I think she did? No, I don't think she did, but she did take that class or enrolled in that class. So there was some sort of interest in storytelling.
Hmm.
Yeah.
She was blind all her life, right?
So mm-hmm. How can she learn to read, write, and stuff like that?
Well, the other thing about when Riz finds the books?
Yeah. Finds the books? Or
well,
plans the books?
Reveals the books.
Yeah, I believe, yeah, when French is in there looking, breaks into Oe's parents' house, he finds books under her bed. And it's the Iliad, a book on oligarchs, basically everything she had told in the story, there's books of. But see, there's just a huge problem there. Remember, she was blind at the age of what, 2? And
no, like 8, wasn't it?
But 8?
Okay. 8, yeah. So, but even still, yeah.
But she was Russian. So when did she learn to read English? Because those books are in English.
There's an argument that she might have learned to read basic English, but there's no way that she could read those types of advanced books. I mean, they're books that are hard to read for people who speak English from birth. Like the Iliad is a... It's not an easy read, you know.
It's a great book, but it's very difficult to read. So I don't know if I buy the theory that basically I think the FBI is maybe afraid of her, and knows what she really is, and that's why it was planted there. And do you also remember the meeting I think it might be the first meeting with Riz, his character, and the parents and OA. On that wall in the background that's in Braille, that spells Rachel. That spells Rachel out.
And crazy.
And that's why I think, and it could, I don't know if she is, but it's one of the reasons Rachel does not gain a movement. She never gets one. Everybody else does, but not her. It's because I think she might have been planted there. I think the FBI was either doing a sting on this or allowing Hap to do these experiments, but controlling them. So that's that's why I think she was down there, because just remember, she didn't get any of that stuff. You didn't see any of her experiences.
True. That's a great point, actually.
Okay, but before we go into more theories, I think we want to go into into finishing off the story, really.
Sorry, yeah.
So I mean, basically, what happens next? It's these two in a room, locked in, with the sheriff's wife. And they're going through the motions, and they pretty much say, we don't want to do this because the sheriff dies, you know. Hap dies. If we do not do this and we do not help her, then Hap's going to get arrested, right?
Yeah.
So they decide, no, we should do it. This is kind of proving our point, you know. We are kind of angels type thing, you know. We've got to do this. So they do it. And all of a sudden, they find that the sheriff's wife is going to hand them over the fifth. And this for me is what gives me kind of what I found of the show. My outlook of the show was that they were meant to be there at that point in time, you know, and they were meant to go to see this lady. Because she was meant to be in that position at that point in time to pass on that movement. Because, you know, obviously she's also been, she's also had an NDE and been given this gift. And this is her sacrifice, you know. And to pass on that fifth movement, it's kind of like they've got to die. I don't know. It's a weird one. That's the kind of thing. But what I got out of it was, and we're going to go to the end in a minute, that everybody's there, or everybody has a role in life for a reason. Everything happens for a reason, and you play a part. Everyone just plays a part going forward. It's just all part of a plan. And it just that's the type of thing that came out for me. But anyway, they don't save her. They kind of do, but then she kind of has a premonition that she's going to die already, because she does say, I want to hug my husband for the last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does.
And then
that.
She gets shot.
Hap kills them both.
Yeah.
With one bullet.
Of a bastard.
Yeah.
It was a good shot.
And then he dumps away on the side of the road, because he basically has all the five movements now, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he's seen them do it. And he's watching it in closed circuit, isn't he? And it kind of just circuits out when the fifth movement is passed on, I think.
I think there is a definite thing that maybe we can go into more about this, but there is a definite thing that Hap is in love with her, and he doesn't want her and Homer to be with each other. So, you know, I think he's just like, I don't need you anymore, and I don't want you to be with him, you know. So if I can't be with you, then no one can. Did you guys
and it was one of the things I actually forgot to say. It remember when they were in Cuba and he brings Hap, or excuse me,
oh
he
yeah good
yeah he brings Homer to seduce Renata, and you know, when you're locked in a cage for 7 years, I mean, you have instincts, and he wanted to prove to them two things: that you're not angels, you're just animals, because he ends up having, you know, pretty rough sex with Renata, and you know, that's how she gets tricked into coming back. But not only does that, but he pipes the sound down to the basement and Prairie has to listen to the whole thing. So yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Did you guys pick up on the conversation they had through the movements, Prairie and Homer? Where,
which part?
So basically, immediately after this, he's had the affair. So we're going back again a few episodes, but they are basically talking to each other. He's like, I'm really sorry. And she's like, go fuck yourself. But it's throughout the movements that they're doing. But basically, they're doing these movements and he's, but you can kind of get the convo. I don't know. Maybe you guys didn't pick it up then, but they kind of had a convo through conversation through movements.
Oh, facial expressions and everything?
Yeah, and the hand movements. So they were just doing it, but it was not the same. He was doing one, she was doing one back, and it was kind of like, no, I don't care what you're saying. And he was like, I'm sorry, I had to do it. And it was kind of, you know, there was a reason, and she was like, no, I hate you. You know, it was just a really cool movie.
Yeah, it was like two people who were deaf who were doing sign language back and forth to each other.
That's it. But they were doing all this, that kind of freaked me out, man. That shit kind of freaked me out, you know. I've got a really good, interesting part about, before you do go on to the end, I've been on Reddit and everything for this shit, man. I've been trying to look at loads of stuff. And there's one Redditor that theorizes that the emotions correlate with five stages of grief. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And the acceptance is where you die.
That makes sense. And that makes sense for the end, too. It makes total sense.
Yeah, so let's move to that end, Joey. Come on.
So, yeah, this is like a huge part. And I don't know about you guys, but I did not see this coming.
No.
So the kids are basically sitting in their cafeteria enjoying their day, and they're having a conversation. And there's an African-American kid who's talking to, I don't remember which person it was. And you see his face change, and he looks up, and it's like, oh, like an oh shit face. And it's, you hear the gunshots. Well, there's a shoot, and it's in poor taste, and it's a touchy thing in America, but I wasn't offended by it or anything, but it's a school shooting. Everybody's dropping to the floor, and BBA is talking to, I guess it's the principal, and then she hears the gunshots, and automatically, it's funny because her first reaction is, where's everybody at? Like, where's the four other people that I've been with this past however many time sitting in this house doing these movements? So the shooter gets in and starts shooting. Well, the five of them stand up and they start doing the five movements. And it's, I mean, when you first see it, you're like, what the fuck? It looks like a boy band dancing.
You see the fear on their face on the floor.
They are shitting
themselves, but they're all looking at each other and nodding, you know, like this is what we're
They know what they're going to do. Yeah. And that's the thing I think you were talking.
Yeah.
Yep. And you were saying it earlier, Gags. It's almost like this is what we were destined to do. Now get up. Let's do it.
Yep.
And it buys them enough time to where I think it's like a school employee tackles the guy. Unfortunately, two shots come off and one of them hits Prairie right in her chest.
Yeah, one of the kitchen employees as well.
Yeah.
Now it mentions that, yeah.
and it's weird because she's literally outside, right outside the glass of the cafeteria doing the movements with them.
Yeah.
But you don't see her until she gets shot.
Isn't there a little bit where she realizes what the premonition was and then she kind of runs towards the school?
She's sleeping.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
she figured
like,
it out.
Oh, it's there, yeah.
All of her life leads to this moment. Like the lady, like the sheriff's wife, all of her life led to that moment. All of Prairie's life
whatever her name is, Nina, when she was a kid in Russia, all of that person's life led to this moment. And that's the freaky part, where there's a bullet in the through the window, right in her chest, right in the middle. Bang.
Yeah, she goes right into the ambulance, and then who hears the whoosh?
No. Nobody? No.
Nobody remember who's here, who hears the whoosh? Gags?
No, no.
Oh, Hop remember, hears
it,
the whoosh,
it,
right?
It was... No, Steve hears it, and then he chases. Yes,
of course he does.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember?
Oh, sorry,
remember
he stopped it. Yeah.
He heard the whoosh, and then he ran after it. And that's why I think his last words to her were, take me with you. He runs after it. And then it just, that part kind of fades to black. And then it's the ending, which is really creepy, when it's up for, obviously up for interpretation, which is why I love the show so much. You just see OA's face. Prairie's face in what appears to be a psych ward, and she asks quizzically, Homer, and then fade to black. Like it's the Sopranos. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. That's what you're about. But it was, I mean, it's up for interpretation. Now, my interpretation of it, and I kind of told you guys this in text earlier, but is so this kind of ties in with, and Gags, I know you've seen it, Doctor Strange. And they kind of explain a lot of this in Doctor Strange, but the world where Prairie is imprisoned by Hat are separate, but they're parallel realities, but they're mirrored timelines, which is why, do you remember when French looks in the mirror at the end after he's in the house and he looks up and who does he see?
Homer.
He sees Homer. And what does Homer have? The exact same scar where French is at. The exact same thing, which Prairie told in the story. So if you look at the connection, just look at the last 7 minutes and then look at the last 7 years that Prairie spent in captivity. The cafeteria and the prison cells were both enclosed in glass. The antagonists both got snuck up on. And in both cases, there's somebody chasing after a car while begging to not be left behind. That's my interpretation of it. There's a lot of different, maybe she's in a coma, maybe she's mentally ill, maybe it's just a dream. I don't want to think it's that easy, because I hate to think that I wasted my time if it's that easy on a show, but that's what I thought.
Simon, your thoughts? I don't think it's a dream. I don't think it's
a dream. No, I definitely don't think it's a dream. And I think there are a lot of facts as well, and like we definitely know that she is from Russia, and we know that Homer is a real person because of the when she looks at the clip. But if it was a parallel world, would she be able to see Homer on the internet? Or is it only her who can see it? Maybe
that's the thing. But do you remember when they trick Hap and Homer's in the, he goes into like the recording studio and he's listening to it, the tape. Do you remember do you remember what that tape said?
Because something like your name is not Homer or something, right?
That's right. Homer grabs his tape and he says, I'm Homer. And the man says, your name is not Homer. And he goes, look at me. Do you know Dr. Roberts? And that's the thing where I'm like, it threw me off a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think that I know she found the YouTube clip, but I think she's jumping between different parallels through dimensions. And that's what she did at the end, which is why Steve wanted to go with her so bad. He wanted to escape his life because he knew he was going nowhere.
Yeah. To me, it could be totally that she's just jumped. She's jumped that. She's done that fifth movement to do that fifth movement and then to teach it to people. You know, she always said she wanted five. She didn't want to be part of it. She got five others. Remember that, yeah? Mm-hmm. She got five others. She was the sixth. So the person, I don't know, that maybe teaches the last one or passes on the fifth and then has to die to maybe go. Because I think, you gotta give a sacrifice or something. There's something like that someone says in the show, in the fifth movement, to move to another dimension. You have to go through, it's not so easy, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to have an NDE or you have to basically die to move. And I just think maybe she's now there and the parallel stuff kicks off now because there's gonna be a series two.
It's interesting that they have confirm that, because that means that in a way I think they would have been able to just end it there and I'd have been pretty happy with that, but I'm not sure if the reveal will be bad or good.
I don't know if it's a confirmation, but Brit in interviews is saying it.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, guys. I heard they're basically almost green-lighted a second season as well.
So, do you want me to go through some of the things that we were supposed to have a third guest, Sean, on? Do you want me to go through some of the things he sent us in regards to this stuff and what he thought?
Yeah, and we can have talk about that.
Yeah, so the first message he said, I think Joey's already covered it, Braille used and hidden throughout the series. The woman that the OA meets in the afterlife has Braille marks on her face, exactly the same as what you've already, I think you've covered, haven't you? I think they change it each time she meets, but he couldn't quite tell. Did you say that as well? You
did on Prairie's father's face. Yeah, it's hard to read. One of the sides, I believe, says angel. I can't make out what the other side says.
Right. When the OA's adopted parents accompanied her to Elias's office, Rachel is written on the wall in Braille. That was there. There is also Rachel written on Prairie's father's face in the afterlife. It's hard to see, but it's there when he turns around and sees him, and she sees him.
Mm.
Purple is the color most used throughout the show. So he says, Sean, that purple relates to the crown chakra, which is considered the center for deeper connection with ourselves and deeper connection with a force of life that is greater than ourselves. Purple is the color of Homer's football jersey, the school locker rooms, the afterlife. Nina is wearing a purple jacket when she first arrives at her new home. So purple everywhere. Yellow is another color used to fill some sort of purpose, but basically Sean can't put his finger on that. When the OA first meets Hap, there is a yellow caution marking on the ground, and then later on, they dine in a room filled with yellow. There's a scene where her adoptive father is wearing a yellow sweatshirt, and Nina yells no at him. Yellow seems to be a negative color throughout. When it's used, typically something bad is happening. So he's moved on from colors. The teacher seems to have an overall interest in containers. She mentions to the principal when packing her things that she had just been to the container store and she loved it. Also, when there is the sexualized picture of her drawn on the white cover on the whiteboard, she draws a container around it. Again, not sure the link here, but you know, I don't know. What do you guys think? Anything in the containers? Could that be anything about jailing people? You know, like how they were confined.
I thought she put that box around there to show I'm stuck in this dimension. This is where I'm stuck. That's what she was boxed in there. That's the way I took it.
Yeah.
And that's what he goes on to say as well. Could she be trying to relate it to the OA and the experience inside the cages at Haps? You know, the last one, which is very interesting, is Riz or Elias an angel hunter? Or is he sincere? Because obviously Hap is an angel hunter. And that's what he's referred to throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no need for him to be in the house when French breaks in. So, you know, I think he's planted the books. I think that's where the second season goes with Riz. You know, it'll be interesting to see Riz as the main lead. trying to find where she's gone or proving stuff.
Yeah,
that would be really interesting.
It's funny, too, because I think he's the one... Simon, you said this earlier. He's the one who encourages them to get out.
Yeah.
When they go to Olive Garden is when I think he plants those books. So I think he had the whole thing set up the whole time.
Yeah. I did read about that person had kind of thought that perhaps the FBI were, I think maybe it was mentioned earlier that they were kind of behind this whole thing and that the fact that he knows that the OA is now aware of this, that he's trying to hide it and they don't want anyone else to know. So it's basically like they're doing all of the experiments because they want to use this power for themselves. So they're trying to kind of hide it up, you know, by making her look like she's insane, which I think definitely has some truth to it. But that's something that we might find out if they do make a second season.
An interesting one here. That I was looking around the internet. I think the fifth movement requires seven people, someone on Reddit said. In both cases, when the fifth movement is performed, there are seven people involved, one of them carrying a gun. In Hap's house, there's the OA, Homer, Rachel, Renata, Scott, and the sheriff's wife, who's the outsider who's been shot. Hap has a gun. In the cafeteria, Steve, Jesse, BBA, French, Buck, the OA, the outsider who's been shot, and the shooter, the gun carrier.
Mm.
So both situations very similar. Like, you know, some little things there. It's mad. It's mad what you can go with and where you can go with this thing.
It really is.
The big thing that hit me was I didn't even think of like the dimension stuff that you guys came out with. I saw it as a I did think, what the fuck, right? I did. But I also, I did actually think, it's telling me that everyone, like I said earlier, is there for a reason in the, you know, shaping the universe, the world, or whatever. Everyone's there to do something for a reason. Though she just saved a lot of people's lives in that cafeteria. If it's real. Now, the big question is she lying or is she telling the truth?
Yeah, that's the toughest part, because there's pros and cons to that.
Do you have some of them?
I just had like kind of a few little small things that I picked up on that I wasn't able to explain. Do you remember in, I think it's the second last episode, and Buck is on her bike and she passes by this kind of, it looks like a crashed bike with a load of red flares around it, and it's never explained at all, and I have no idea what it's meant to be. Did you guys remember that little bit?
I do, once you wrote yeah.
Any thoughts on what that might represent?
No, I wasn't sure, and I read something about it that made absolutely no sense to me. But I do, yeah, I wasn't sure either, but there had to be some significance. It just went over my head, I guess.
Yeah, because like I did definitely feel that everything is there for a reason. Like every little small thing has been put into the show. Like it's not like that's some weird random thing, you know? Like I definitely feel that's there for a reason. But yeah, it's hard to explain that one. Another theory that I looked up about as well, which is, I think I mentioned this on the messages, is that Hap and Homer are the same person, which is pretty wild, but she's basically remembering back to being held, you know, hostage, and she's kind of divided her captor up into two people, the nice person and the mean person. So obviously, you know, Hap being the mean person who hurt her and was really bad to her and experimented on her, and Homer being the part of him that she fell in love with. But I'm not so sure about it, but I think it's an interesting theory to think about. And they're, you know, if it's, but that's based on if it's all in the same world and dimension, which I think that it is, but, and I do think that she is telling mostly the truth, but I think she's hiding a lot of things as well. And there's a lot of things that she shouldn't know that she does know. So the fact that she knew that Hap went and killed his old lab partner, that could maybe explain Hap and Homer are both the same person, because he would have confided in her, but we never actually saw that happening. So I'm not sure either, but I think that's an interesting theory anyway.
Yeah, it really is.
Is there any other scenarios that you wanted to cover before we finish off? In with regards to what happened, I mean, I've got one thing that I want to just ask, right? When they're captive, and by the way, we haven't even mentioned how fucking disgusting that must be to be captive for how long? 6-7 years there?
7 years.
7 years for her, but do we know how long the rest of them have been there? Is that ever mentioned by anyone?
I don't think so. They had just, I remember they said how they got there, like how they were.
No one said when.
Naked, but yeah, and they didn't say when. That's a good point.
And August was one person who was there when she arrived, so there might have been 4 or 5 others before. I mean, we have no idea how far back he's been experimenting, I think he's been doing
those for a long time, and basically, if he was testing on you and you didn't give him what he wants, he would just kill you. And remember, because he ended up burying her out back. So,
man, yeah. I mean, vicious and cruel, very, very cruel. It was horrible that these people were dying every day, being drowned every day, you know, for research purposes. How many times did they die in 7 years? You know, if you think about it. It's terrible. It's terrible.
I think when you break the math down, I think it was like weekly that he was killing them.
It's horrible. It's
just awful.
It's insane.
And I just want to know, and you're going to laugh at this, where the fuck did they shit?
Yeah. Someone asked that. I saw that. I think a person said they in the little
stream,
the water stream. But
what, they drank from that stream? How can they shit in that stream?
Because I think the water.
No, comes, I will not accept that.
It's not the same. Like I presume the water must that comes around is clean, and the water that leaves gets washed away because they like. Do you remember Homer said, right now we're using the water to wash ourselves, so maybe they have like a bathroom time for the water and like a wash time, you know, but it's still, I don't think I really want to think about it. It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that whole complex is, I just keep going back to the FBI thing. Like, that's such a sophisticated equipment there that, like, how would he? I mean, I know he was a brilliant scientist, but who's funding that? You know, like, that's a lot of money invested there.
And also his lab partner as well. I mean, who's funding him? So that's why I think the theory of the FBI being behind the whole thing, there might be 20 of them, you know, that exist. We have no idea how far that thing is. But I did like the way his lab partner try to explain it, because Hap, as bad as he was, you could tell that he felt bad about it to a certain extent, but his lab partner was cold, and he was like, oh, that guy who invented the X-ray, like, he killed his wife, and he was just harsh, and like, he didn't care at all. I think the way he talked, it's like he went through a lot more people, and he was just clinical about the whole thing. And Hap did kind of try to redeem himself a little bit by feeling bad for it, but then he was horrible as well, you know, really bad.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's so many things you just can go back and forth, and like, she does say stuff sometimes that you do wonder. Like, one of them that I do remember off the top of my head is when I think it's a dinner, and the what does she tell? She tells the parents, like, I want 7 years without being touched by a human. But that doesn't make any sense.
Because but that's not true. Yeah.
Exactly. And she said things like that before that, like, wait a minute. Like, that's it doesn't make sense. And it's so that's why I don't know if it was just and I don't think that's a mess up in the show.
That's what I think. Yeah. Everything was there for a reason, and it was taught about how to be.
Yeah, and I go back and forth all the time, like, yeah, this was definitely real, but then I'm like, I mean, she could have been telling, like, a real...
I know.
And I mentioned the creative writing thing earlier. That is, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, it could really go either way. You could make a case, a really, really, really good case either way. And I think you were talking earlier about the flares...
Yeah.
That buck when he
the
was
red the red flares.
In the red backpack. Isn't that damn it. Wasn't that in Rachel's near death car accident? She describes a red backpack in the road.
And a car crash.
Yeah, but I don't think they show it.
No.
But she tries to explain it.
Talks about it, yeah. Her brother.
That's what she sees. That's what reminds her of Rachel.
So do you maybe think as they start to move towards having the five movements that they, when we see Homer in the mirror in the backpack, that that's kind of the two worlds are blending into one, and they're kind of being linked.
Yeah.
So that's almost like a mirror into the other dimensions because they're on the verge of opening a portal.
How do you jump off of a bridge and you only damage your feet slightly?
That's true as well. Yeah.
I don't care if you go in feet first, you're going to die. So it's, you know, she wakes up and then there's just too much that adds up to it being, I think it's paralleling dimensions. Yeah. And she's going through both of them, but each group that she's in doesn't understand that. Like, the one group eventually does, the kids do, but
yeah, I don't know if you guys picked up on this as well, though. I kind of thought she jumped off the bridge, you know, afterwards, after watching what they were doing, what was happening to her for 7 years. I kind of thought she was trying to go into the afterlife as much as possible to open up this dimension to meet Khatun, maybe, you know, each time to see if she could... for another movement, to get the fifth movement.
Oh, okay.
And I think she was trying to drown, because that's what she knows. Drowning gets her there.
So but she already had the fifth movement at that point.
Oh, yeah, of course she did.
She
she was trying to feed, she was trying to see if she could
she's
meet
trying to get back
there. Homer.
To she's Homer, trying to get back to Homer. Yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah.
But that's, again, though, I mean, this podcast could probably be 3 hours. It's that ending where she looks disheveled. And you see the movies and you see the picture of your typical psych ward, and that background is exactly what it would look like. And I know they did that on purpose so we could do a pod like this and debate it for hours, but that was the whole. And that's why
maybe, I wonder if the ward was another FBI plant. Like, they put her in the ward because they want people to think that she's like ill, because they don't want people to find out what they've been experimenting on.
Very good possibility. I still think, I know I'm flip-flopping, but I still think of the FBI. It's too much of a coincidence with Riz Ahmed's character and everything. So
yeah,
that's what
too,
I'm going to stick
with. Too much involvement.
With.
And I don't think Riz is going to come into a show for 4 episodes.
No, I agree with that, yeah.
So that's what,
comes off the popularity.
Yeah, that's... massive, come on. The Night
Owl.
Yeah,
he's massive now, isn't he?
Huge.
Yeah.
He signed Star Wars movies. He is going to be the central figure in season 2. It's got to be. He's going to be framing her, I think, and people, that's why she was getting doubted. But also, like you said, if it's an ulterior dimension, he's going to be there too. If it's mirrored, if it's paralleled, it's just free. I don't know. Fuck it. I'm just done.
There's one other small thing that also could prove that she is making things up, or kind of the weird fiction version of truth. Is it possible for them to write those movements on their own backs? Because to me, that seems like a pretty hard thing to do, but I don't know. Maybe we just have to. Like, it's a kind of a hard spot to reach on your back, and they didn't have any blades. You know, what was it that they used to make the scars?
Yeah, they really didn't explain that.
Like, we saw that thing with Homer, and he had a thing in his hand, and there was blood. But I don't know. It seems crazy that Hap would allow them a knife. If they were, you know, his precious experiments. So that's also another weird thing.
And there's one more weird thing to add to that. Do you remember when every time they would meet, they were in that house, right? And what did she tell them to do?
Leave the doors open.
Leave the doors open. And what were the instructions from the mental health facility? Part of it was,
God, yeah,
take the doors off, because we don't want her to hurt herself. So that could be another connection. So, again, it's that back and forth. Was it real? Was it not real?
Oh, man, yeah, I didn't even think about that. And when she's, like, when she has the camera and she's recording her, like, doll's house, she leaves the door open in it.
Yeah, yes, she does. Yep.
So that's,
what was the door opening thing?
Oh, man, I don't know.
It was,
why did she do it?
I don't know.
No, but
that's
why did everyone
weird.
Have to keep the door open?
That has nothing
it points to that she could have been in a mental health facility, drugged up this whole time, and these were just vivid imaginations. Because that's when her parents first took her into her room, they got instructions, and the mom didn't like it, so she refused to do it. Part of those instructions were to take the door off or open it, so that you always see her, so she can't lock it and hurt herself.
Oh, man. If that's what the whole thing is, I'd be so annoyed. If she made that whole thing up, I'd be angry. I don't think they can.
I don't think that's the worst way to end any show, isn't it? I don't think anybody would watch a second season if that was proven.
No, I agree with that.
It would just kill the show. I think they will definitely have an angle here that will probably shock the shit out of you.
I hope so. I hope it's a thing that we haven't even mentioned yet. We'll be like, what the hell? Something just crazy.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. Is that everything, guys, you think?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's probably little details.
There's so much more, yeah, but it's...
But, yeah, I mean, there's... You could make this into, like, a college class if you wanted to.
And even after all of that, I'm still so torn between what I think happened.
Me too.
You know, so it's... I keep going back and forth. Like, there's... You can prove them both so equally. It's just... It's amazing, though.
Yeah, all that in 8 episodes. That's what the amazing part is.
That's true.
Lots going on, wasn't there?
And
Just
mad. I would recommend, if you haven't yet, to watch it back. I've watched it twice, and you do see a little bit more when you watch it back, because you know the main plot, so you're kind of paying attention to the smaller things, and there's a lot of them in it. So it is, I like that you can watch it back, you know?
I'm going to end it with the last question that was asked to Britt. Will we find out in season 2 what Elias was doing in Prairie's house, or what Steve was even doing at school on the day of the shooting when his parents had been about to send him off to military school? She laughed and she said, yes, and I love that you hit on exactly all the things. That's my favourite part, yes. Those are all the threads that it would be very fun to continue, but you're going to have to wait and see.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Okay.
That's your giant teaser for season 2.
Exactly. Yeah. And I thought it would be the best way to end podcast. So at this point, I just want to say we hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you have watched it, if you have any other theories, tweet us. We'll have a laugh and joke on Twitter. And I'm telling you, the threads will be long, man, with these two, and maybe even Sean jumping in there to talk about it. It'll just go on and on. So if you want to jump in with your theories, please feel free to do that. And our Twitter handles are @joke_connors81, @heftyhorse, @gagstandon, @onthebox_podcast. Feel free to do that. Thank you very much, Simon. Thank you, Joseph. Any plugs from either of you?
The Legends Podcast, Anfield Index, Anfield Channel. Gags was nice enough to let me take control of that. I've done 3 now. There'll be plenty more. One should be out relatively soon. That's up to Gags. And I've written a lot for the AI Comic Pod. A little bit less now because my son is finally sleeping through the night. So I need the rest when I can get it.
And Simon, this is your first show. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. And maybe the first of many, because I know you're a TV fan. So yeah, stay tuned. Simon may be on a lot more on the boxes in the future. So I just want to say thank you very much for listening. There's so much more on the AIP channel. There'll be loads coming as well. Keep listening. Keep supporting. We do appreciate all the listens you give us, and just give us some feedback. That's the only way we can improve, is by giving us feedback. Reply to our tweet of the show. Let us know what you thought, and we will do our best to improve. Okay? Thank you very much. See you next week. I'm going to figure out what we're going to do next week. See you next week on The Box.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.